Good morning, Leesville. This is April the 19th, and I want us to begin our worship service together by reading a verse from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Well, again, today we're under quarantine, but we're praying that things are starting to improve. And let's just begin our time together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your watch and care over us. We praise you because you do all things well. We know that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we thank you for your grace and your patience, and your mercy. And we're praying as you taught us to pray in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that you will heal our land, not just America, but the whole world, heal from this virus. And we pray for your church that's alive and well, although we're doing church very different during these days. Be with our governor and the decisions that have to be made when we can return to some type of normalcy. Lord, in the meantime, be with those that are in nursing homes. Be with those that are not doing well. Be with those that are grieving. And be with all of us as we look for you collectively, but fellowship face-to-face with each other. We pray your blessings on everyone who hears our service together. In Jesus' name, amen. My text this morning is 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a statement that Paul makes that should be reassuring to us. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. This is a verse of assurance, and here Paul expresses four realities, explains these realities to us. And the first reality is that temptation is routine. This is normal. This is a part of what he means by common to man. However, when I use the word temptation, we always think a temptation to sin. The word here has a more general meaning, though, of a trial or a testing of any kind. And so to be tested or tried is a part of what it means to be human. The tests of life are inevitable so long as we have the power of contrary choice. You say, well, I don't like to go through all of this. Well, really, if we were never tested, if God removed all temptation, all trials, he would have to remove the freedom of choice. And that's largely what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God, is that we have the power to choose either this way or that way. And as long as there's that power of choice, there's also the trial or the testing that goes along with it. I know many of you are teachers. Many of you would like to be back in the classroom. let me just make this comparison. It's not considered abusive for you to give a test to your students. And it's not abusive for God to allow us to be tested. Now, there are those who say, but I've graduated. I've got a diploma to prove it. But we never graduate from learning, and sometimes we learn the most when we are tested. And so that's a part of what is common to man, not just common to students, but common to all men and women. Temptation is routine, but the second truth is that God is dependable. The scripture says he's faithful. When everything else around us is in flux, he is our constant. Many times we problem solve by working from the known to the unknown. If I find myself in a situation when I don't know what to do, I start with what I know and work towards what I don't know. And often I don't have much to go on when I start with what I know. But my starting point, as well as yours, is the faithfulness of God. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, that's not saying we are, but it's saying even if we were faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God's nature is truth. God's nature is consistency. God is the absolute. He's the bedrock of certainty. And when you don't know what you can start with, you can always start with him, for he cannot deny his own nature. Now, in thinking about that, and I know that sometimes people say, well, all religion is the same, and that's not really the case. Let me just contrast by telling you that Muhammad, who was the founder of Islam, Muhammad declared that he did not know what Allah would do with him after he died. Here's the founder of a religion, and he didn't know what his God would do with him. Now, if you think I'm just making that up, you can get your Quran and turn to chapter 46, verse 9. If you don't have a Quran, just stick with the Holy Scriptures, and you won't miss anything. But it is recorded in the Quran, chapter 46, verse 9, that Muhammad, the great prophet, they would say even greater than Jesus Christ, Muhammad said he didn't know what Allah would do with him after he died. Well, the good news is we know what God will do with us after death, because we know what it's like to be in relationship with him before death. He cannot deny himself. And he says, if we come to him in the name of Jesus, he will in no way cast us out. So we've got these realities. Temptation is routine. God is dependable. And the third thing, this is also good news. The good news is that God has established limits. He will not allow you or I to be tempted or tried or tested beyond what we are able to bear. That's the good news. The bad news is that our load limit is often much higher than we even think it is. But God knows what we're able to bear. I was talking with Alan on the phone earlier, and you know he works for the state of South Carolina, and he is to inspect roads and bridges to make sure that they're built properly. He was telling me that out on the interstates, there are bridges that almost can bear any load. There's no load too great. But you get out on a country road, and you might come up on a bridge that has a sign warning you that it has a 3-ton load limit. Now, when you think about that, that's 6,000 pounds. Alan says that there are some big trucks out there that weigh more than 6,000 pounds. But there are some country road bridges that really cannot bear a very heavy load. Well, my point is that however weak or strong we actually are, God knows what our load limit is. And God is like a highway patrolman. If the devil tries to drive more over your bridge than you can bear, God will stop him. God will ticket him. God will not permit you to break under the load. But, as I said many times, we don't want to take any chances. It's like going to the gym and only pressing 2 pounds. You say, well, why don't you press more weight, Pastor? Well, I just don't like the stress. And so there I am, going to the gym every other day, pressing 2-pound weights. Well, actually, you cannot build muscle. You cannot build endurance by pressing 2-pound weights. Now, granted, there could be someone in a care facility. That's all for rehab. That's all they could handle. But the point is, we almost have to be maxed out in order to build endurance, in order to build muscle. And so if you say, I just don't understand. I was talking to Don Copeland today, and Don said the devil had been after him all day yesterday, just one problem after another. Well, the good news is the devil doesn't bother you if he's already got you. Don must be an awfully good Christian because the devil was giving him a bad time. Why did God allow that? If there's load limits, why did God allow that? Because he's trying to build our endurance level. He's trying to prepare us for future ministry and future service. And you can't build up any stamina. You can't build up any endurance if you never have any tests, if you never have any stress in your life. And so God will allow us many times to be pushed to our limit. And the devil will say to us at that point, oh, you've had it, you're done for. Nobody ought to have to put up with this. Isn't it amazing how sympathetic the devil will get with us when he wants us to become discouraged? Realize that God will not allow more to be put on you than you're able to bear. God has established limits, but realize the limits may be higher than our comfort zone. And so as we get older, our stamina physically may begin to diminish. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, outwardly, we are wasting away, but inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. That's how we put up with, how we deal with the stress of life, is that even in our flesh, we may feel that we're weak, but we're being renewed day by day. And so what Paul is telling us in this verse is that testing is routine, but God is dependable. God has established limits. And finally, Paul tells us that God has provided a way out. He has provided an escape for us. And you see that in the last part of this verse 13. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up after it. One commentator said the image here is an army that's trapped in the mountain. But they escape from an impossible situation through a mountain pass that they discover. When you feel like that the devil has you surrounded, don't give up. Don't surrender. God will provide a mountain pass. There'll be a way you can escape from the trap that's been set for you. And so he says, Paul says that God will help us bear up under our load of responsibility. I used to hear people say sometimes that they were carrying a heavy burden. And sometimes that was a burden over an unsaved family member. And I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of language. We're not talking about a physical load now, but we're talking about an emotional or a spiritual heaviness that we carry. And sometimes we ask the question, how can I carry this load of responsibility and concern? And the little voice in our head will say, I can't do it anymore. How can I bear this load? Well, what the scripture is telling us here is, if you feel like you're maxed out, if you feel like your load is too heavy, then just relax and trust the faithfulness of God. And as I was trying to study the particular Greek word that was used here, the Greek dictionary was telling me something that's interesting, that the faithfulness of God acts almost like an undercurrent. We're buoyed up by this undercurrent. You know, if you're trying to learn to swim, the easiest way to drown is just to thrash and try as hard as you can. All you have to do is to let go and relax. And Paul is saying that God will provide a way that you can stand up under the tests of life. And it's not that you have to try harder. Many of you are trying as hard as you can now. Many of you are maxed out, don't know what you'll do with another week in quarantine. But here's the answer. Just relax and let the current bear you up. The current of God's grace will carry you and will move you out of the crisis. If you feel like you have fought until you don't have any energy left to fight, then quit fighting. Just relax and let that undercurrent bear you up. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 says that He is able to keep us from falling. In this case, if I could just change one word without changing the meaning, I'd say that He is able to keep us from drowning. God can keep us from drowning. And it's not that we have to thrash and try and walk on water. God's not asking you to walk on water. He's just asking you to relax and let the current of His grace enable you to stand up under the pressures of life. And so I hope that you will maybe even write out this verse or somehow keep it before you this week. This verse tells us that temptation is routine, that God is dependable, that God has established limits, and that God will not spare us the testing, but God will always, and this is a guarantee, this is an ironclad guarantee, God will always provide a way out, a way of escape. God will provide some way by His grace that He will bear us up under what we're trying to go through. And so I want to close by coming full circle back to Isaiah 41, verse 10. We started off with this promise. Let's close with this promise. Do not fear, for I am with you. This is God speaking to us. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. I hope in your mind that you have this mental picture now, that He not only upholds us with His righteous right hand, but He sustains us with the undercurrents of His grace. Let's close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you know where each person is, not only physically, but where they are financially, where they are emotionally, and you know what we are facing in the week to come. We know that we'll not avoid all the tests and trials of life, but that you're going to be with us through those times of testing. I pray that you'll use this crisis that we're going through as a church to make us stronger. And I thank you that the virus has not broken us, but the virus has actually made us stronger. And so help us to live in your strength and not focus on our weakness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.